This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab-Up. My name is Maggie Morgan, and I am one of your hosts here as we take you along this magnificent snow-covered mountain that is The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I'm here today with my co-host, the incomparable, the incredible, the absolutely gorgeous Jacob Jones. How are you doing today, Jacob?
It is like Christmas morning with last night's episode. The day after Christmas, after you open the gifts, now you get to play with the toys, talk about it, you know what I mean? Show it off. And I am honestly on a high. I'm still on a high. Like, it's so, like,
me
this
too.
Episode, it's so many clips, it's so many memes, it's so many, like, it's just like still photos. This episode was what I've been continuously to bitch and complain about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City thus far. It came, it delivered, it saw, it conquered, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Me too. I cannot wait to get started to talk about this. And I'm so excited because today we have a fabulous guest with us.
Yes.
We have the amazing, the absolutely stunning, the completely wonderful and hilarious Chantel Francis is here with us. How are you doing, Chantel?
Oh my gosh, I'm amazing. As everybody else has been waiting for those damn box braids to enter our frame.
Yes!
We got some box braids last night.
Oh my God.
Thinking about it because we've been teased the scene.
Yes.
We've been waiting for it. I'm like, when are those box braids coming? Mm-hmm. I got to see those box braids. And
yes. Oh my God. Chantel, you and I are literally, this is how I know you've been listening to the pod, because I cannot bring up Jen Shaw's arrest without bringing up those box braids. Like, I can't.
They were crisp.
That's what I've been waiting for. Like, just seeing, you know, before the season was airing, you would see a lot of the footage and she's going to the courthouse. And it's like, where's those box braids? Like, you know, you knew the
oh my gosh.
And so I've been waiting for them. And the fact that I was asked to join you guys on this podcast to talk about, I would say, the best episode of the series so far.
Ten out of ten would agree.
And
absolutely.
it's so wild because even without the arrest, the beginning of the arrest sequence happening, this episode still would have been the best of the season, at least.
Yeah.
Like it was so good even before we got to the big party bus. So just the fact that, and then, you know, on Watch What Happens Live, when Lisa was on, Andy said that the next episode is top five ever in Housewives franchise history. So like, Lisa was like, oh yeah, is it us on the bus? Were we on the bus, Andy? And he's like, yep, it's the 8 hours following what we just watched. And I just cannot wait. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to remind me of like Jersey Housewives. They had one episode in, I think, season one or two. And it was like a melee of drama, and it happened all in the scheme of like 5 to 6 hours. And that was the only episode. It was like a still shot of one location, and they're all in the house. It's going to be fantastic. Ah, it's like, how, like, this is what I've been waiting for. And again, like Maggie said, like the beginning of the episode to the middle episode was still jam packed with a whole bunch of content mm-hmm. to talk about. But just that we got this little teaser, this little bit of who is HSI.
My heart was beating. Like I was sweating. I was looking over at my roommate and I was like, I can't breathe. Like this is so intense.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine what was going through their heads when they see, like Whitney was like, this is for sure a prank. This is a prank, guys. This is a prank. Like she kept saying that.
They thought they were like strippers or something mm-hmm. like that. Like the people in the uniforms. And so I was like, I mean, you have Heather kind of co-planning this. So I wouldn't be surprised at the stripper gate as well. But no, we got mm-hmm. something even better than strippers. We got the police.
Oh, man.
What I find really interesting as well is that you can tell how the energy completely shifts. Like they're on the mm-hmm. bus and they're like, is this a prank? We don't know. But you could hear the severity of the situation in the air, and it was riveting. Like this is mm-hmm. this is reality TV.
This is reality
guys.
I mean, TV.
You want to talk about raw emotion from everybody, even Jen lying through her teeth about, you know, Big Shaw's internal bleeding. Okay. Like, oh man.
I wish Mary was on that bus.
Who was on the call, do you think? Do you think it was Shaw, like husband?
I think it's Stewart. I think it was Stewart.
I have no clue.
And because
I hope we find out.
I mean, it could be her husband. I mean, saying, hey, the cops just came to the house. You may want to get your ass back. I don't know.
Or get out of town.
Or flee. Because he had to know.
I think that the
was going on. So
I know. I think that the idea is, though, that like whoever called her knew what she did and what was about to happen. So like the whole idea right now is that like the story that they're saying is that Coach Shaw was not involved, that he didn't know. So if Shaw was the one who called, like, because she wasn't like, you know, giving an explanation on the phone, you know, she didn't pick up the phone and was like,
she's just listening.
Wait, what are you saying? What's going? Yeah. She was just listening and silent and going, Okay. All right. Okay. Like it's so wild that they caught this on camera. Like, how did the feds know they were at Beauty Lab? How did the feds know they were at Beauty Lab? It's so perfect. Oh,
I really hope the next episode is the case of who tipped off the feds. Like, please, I need this murder or this mystery solved. I need to go.
I think that Chantel is going to be like the tail end of the season. I think next episode is just going to be everybody reacting, like everybody finding out and reacting and talking about it. I think that what we're going to get in the like season finale and like the episodes leading up to it, because, you know, in the preview, we see Jen putting her finger in Meredith's face at the dinner table saying, if you have anything to do with these bullshit charges against me, like I have a feeling that that is where the season is going. And we're just going to have to watch it all play out. But
I,
it's
honestly,
so wild.
I'm not that. I mean, this is all like so riveting and fascinating, but I'm honestly, I could give two shits who called the feds. I still love it. It's like, dude, who cares who called the feds? Like, thank you for bringing this to us. Whoever was kind of to gift us with this present. It was amazing. Yes.
Yes. And like, honestly, we still have so much to talk about. Like, we need to talk about Mary's Italian cooking extravaganza. Like, extravaganza? There's just so much.
Should we call it an extravaganza or should we call it
I think Mary would call it an extravaganza.
I mean, they didn't even get Louis Vuitton apron. So that's not an extravaganza. It's got the bags, bro. So I'm not calling it. I'm calling it a melee.
Before we get into it, I do just want to check in with you, Chantel, and ask, like, what is your history with the Housewives franchise? Like, who is your favorite? Like, sort of get your, like, your understanding and your, like, level of Housewives fandom.
All right. So I remember back in the day, I was watching, like, the OC, and I was in on that train, like, I really enjoyed it because I'm a reality TV junkie. Like I've seen it all mm-hmm. when they first came out. And then like New Jersey, I was watching, and New York, and like all in the very beginning stages. And then mm-hmm. it just seemed to be like manufactured drama. So I stopped really being engaged with it because I wasn't necessarily there for all the screaming fights. Like that's not really mm-hmm. the drama that I was looking for. Like I love the human interaction, people like seeing these people these people's lives and like what they're really going through and experiencing. Mm-hmm. So when it became a really overly produced, I was kind of like, I'm not really mm-hmm. into it anymore. And I started watching other things a little bit more regularly. And then within the last couple of years, I started to kind of tip my toe back in a little bit. So I caught up on Potomac. Oh, I also watched like the early seasons of, Atlanta. Like I watched like Meanie's, the inception of Meanie, like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I was there for the beginning of most of the series. So I started watching Potomac again. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. So I still had to catch up on the last two seasons of Potomac. And then I hadn't mm-hmm. watched Beverly Hills since like season 3 or something. So I caught up on this season of Beverly Hills. And I was like, this is pretty good. I might have to go back and watch the ones I haven't watched.
Well, the ones you haven't really watched, I wouldn't really go back and watch the last few seasons of Beverly Hills because they have been very, 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 very dry and draining.
Wait, what's the Garcelle's first season?
Okay, Garcelle's first season, it wasn't that hot. But it was something to see. The last season was really focused on Denise Richards and, you know, lesbian gate or whatever, her and Brandi Glanville's relationship. And so, but like Beverly Hills right now in the projection that is headed, I'm excited for it. Like this season of Beverly Hills, 10 out of 10, 10 out of freaking 10.
It was pretty fun to watch. So, and then when Salt Lake City came around, I'm like, well, I like starting things from the beginning because one of the reasons mm-hmm. why I haven't gone back and watched some of these, you know, more
it's
like
so
other
hard. Yeah.
Ones, it's like, oh my God, I have 10 seasons to go back and watch. Like mm-hmm. it's just a big up. Like commitments. So, okay, I can start with Salt Lake City, like right from the beginning. Perfect. So I got in on it. Not that it's the best of the franchises. It's entertaining. Mm-hmm. They're kind of fun. I don't really love that many people, but mm-hmm. I enjoy watching the show.
That's
so you are asking who my favorite character is. And Maggie, mm-hmm. you'll be happy to know that I've actually Team Lisa Barlow.
Yes.
I don't care. Yes. I want to be friends with her more than any of the other people. So the people I like, I'm sorry, Jen is a mess, but we'll probably get into it a little bit more. But I kind of understand mm-hmm. her and I feel like I would be able to get along with her. And I don't feel like she would talk to me the way that she talks to some of these people. So I mm-hmm. feel like I would be able to be the Jen whisperer, we'll say. And so, and I think mm-hmm. I would get along with Jen. I think that she actually has a lot of redeeming qualities that get overshadowed sometimes by the drama that's kind of, you know, blown up between these ladies. And then Mary is up there too, just because
iconic
bananas. Like,
geez. Yes. And the fact this episode is the perfect one to talk about it with. Yeah. This is the perfect episode for us to really break down Mary because wow, what an experience.
So yeah, those are my top three. And we'll probably talk about the other ladies as well who are not on my top three list at all.
Should we start from the top of the episode? This is going to be such a long podcast. I can already tell. So everybody buckle up, get yourself a drink, get some popcorn. We're about to really get into it. I'm like looking at the notes that I have from the top of the episode and all of this is just like so irrelevant given how dense the back half was. Like Jen and her son are playing basketball. Like Whitney and Justin are talking about moving the stripper bowl to the bedroom. Lisa's playing virtual reality games with Henry Baby Gorgeous. Like this is all just like establishing shots of them in their house. And I think that the episode really starts with Mary when she starts trying to FaceTime all of the women about this Italian cooking class she's planning. And Jacob, do you want to talk about her outfit? Like what she's wearing?
Just the scarf, really. Just the scarf that took off 95% of her outfit. It was very Mary Cosby. It was very her.
And the hat. You can't forget the hat.
Also, but you want to know something? I never saw or never paid attention to like the outside because they had a quick little outside shot of Mary's house. And Mary has a dope ass house. I was like, oh, wow. And I didn't know it was that, like, it looked that good on the outside because on the inside, yikes. it needs some wild work. But Mary, hey, she living the lap of luxury over there. But yeah, so she had this.
She's got money.
Money, and it runs long. And she had this scarf on that took up 95% of her body and sat on this couch, FaceTiming all the ladies to call them and invite them to an Italian cooking class and give them, the 411 on what to wear and basically what to expect. And I feel like this entire scene was very Mary Cosby from top to bottom, from, FaceTime all the ladies. And then once one lady did not pick up, sent this long ass message and more drama, .. and about that. But yeah, it was basically, it was a fun time just like seeing. And honestly, I, Mary said, oh, when they know you're supposed to call, they don't answer. I'm like, it's true, because they probably, probably told the housewives, hey, Mary's about to call y'all. Oh, y'all, have your phone ready. And I can get the frustration of, so Whitney is the only housewife that did not answer the phone or not pick up the phone. And Mary was like, in the moment, she was like, oh, I'm not going to keep calling you, girl. I'm going to text you, everything you need to know. Well, everything that, we thought, she needed to know. And she didn't answer, so she was very frustrated. But also, something to point out, she did not call Jenny, which is the only one left out of this group that she did not FaceTime and invite. So that's something to note.
I have to say, see, this is one of the reasons why I like Mary. It's because I love an opportunity to dress up. I used to have birthday parties my entire, for at least my adult life. It would be, one time it was like cougars and boy toys was like my theme for my birthday.
So fun.
One was like cougar night. We went to a male strip club. And so, and then even when I was younger, we'd do like 90s theme prom and, definitely different opportunities to wear a good outfit. So the fact that she gave an opportunity to dress up, I'd be like, I am going to be so Italian. You're going to think that I am Lady Gaga with my father, son, and house of Gucci.
Like, that would have been. Yes, Chantel. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm living. Yes, exactly.
That was amazing. because this seemed on par for what Mary has been doing when she has been throwing events. We saw last season, it was the
Met Gala.
Yeah. And I forgot that this was midday. They had to dress in full length gowns, the fanciest to the fanciest, midday for some lunch. And Whitney brought it, Heather brought it back up saying, hey, she does, this is her type of thing. She loves a theme. She loves dressing up for things. And it adds to Mary's energy, and I like it. And so Chantel, what do you think of Jenny? What do you think of Jenny and what she brings to the show?
Not much.
Period.
Sorry. Yeah. Like, I appreciate them having a little more diversity, bringing somebody from a different background onto the show, into the mix. Absolutely. I'm not really caring that much for her storyline. And I appreciate that she's gone through, a really traumatic, experience with her husband and with having children and whatnot. Like, that's, I wouldn't put that upon anybody. But I don't know if I want to experience that on a regular basis. Personally, I'm just not sure her storyline is fitting in with the storylines of these particular housewives. And she doesn't really bring anything else other than what's going on with her and her husband right now. And I'm not engaged.
Yeah, because
engaged. I love that. I'm not engaged.
I know. I'm like, also my thing about it, Chantel, is because I was thinking about this because we got a couple tweets last week of people saying like Heather was my favorite and now she's completely irrelevant to this season. And like, yes, definitely. But like Heather shows you why she's such a great character in this whole group sequence, like with all of the fighting that we're about to talk about. Like Heather is like the comedic relief that we're watching and cracking up at, like Heather really brings something to the dynamic of these women. And I just am not really seeing what Jenny is bringing to that,
Also, Heather acts as a connector to multiple of the ladies. Like we even saw at the dinner when Mary was like, I love you. And she's like, I know, Mary, I feel you. And then her being super close to Whitney and then her being close to Meredith and then her having a strenuous relationship with Jen, but her also not really effing with Lisa. So like Heather is like very integral in a lot of relationships where Jenny is like this group scene in the one shot that we got of Jenny this season. I mean, this is not... I wish it was this season. This episode, I had it on mute because I was just like, I kid you not, I just did not care about it. And I love the fact
that. You didn't want to watch her make yogurt with her kids?
No, I really did.
I mean, I'm allergic to yogurt, so I'm like,
hey, mom, what are you doing? Making yogurt, want to come in? Yes, mom. Hey, mom, what are you doing? Yes, mom. I was just like, okay, I'm tired of it. And then I hit mute. But I was so glad that Mary did not invite her to this event. I was just like, this is why I love Mary. She's not fake. She's not phony. If she feels the type of way about you, you will know. And as we later on see.
And that is the quality of a great housewife. Like either you as a housewife need to be fake and phony as hell, like Elisa Barlow, or you need to tell everybody to their face how you feel about them, like Mary Cosby. Anything in between that is like, you know, then you're not going to be iconic and integral to the season in the same way, you know? So the next sequence after this is Jenny. You forgot that Jenny also went over to Meredith's and they got their nails done, which is like a whole lot of nothing. Basically, yeah. Meredith just invited Jenny to Vail. But I will say, I wrote in capital letters, Meredith's brown leather look in her confessional. She looked stunning in this. Her skin, she looked flawless.
I want to say
so.
Something.
Yes.
People continuously get on Meredith's back about the the filters that she uses on her social media. And I don't follow her. I don't really follow any of them just because after I get off the show, I really don't care about their lives. You know, see a couple tweets. But like they'll like grab side by sides of how Meredith will edit her photos and how her confessions like actually look. I'm like, she looks the same in both, like being asked about it. So leave Meredith. She's a beautiful woman. Leave her alone. She can do whatever she wants.
Agree. And I think go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of Meredith's outfit, I sent you guys something that I would love for you to take a look at. That has to do with Meredith and
Oh my God. That's not real.
I don't think it's real. But it's
that is hilarious.
It's been your Halloween costume because you give me both and Meredith. So I feel like that literally should have been your Halloween costume. That should have been.
So just to explain to everyone, we will all three retweet this afterwards, but it's a Spirit Halloween costume bag that says Utah Fashion Wife, and it's Meredith Marks in her big pink jumpsuit with those big pink puffy sleeves and that rhinestone mask that she wore to the beauty lab opening. And it says it includes a rhinestone face net, pink pantsuit, and pink bird sleeves. That is, you know, Meredith loves her feathers.
That's pretty perfect. Iconic. It's pretty
iconic.
I saw
it and I was like, what a perfect time to see this, to share with you.
Pretty iconic. Maggie, next year for Halloween, if you don't do it, I will.
All right. What if we're both, like, what if you're Meredith and I'm Lisa?
And what is an iconic Lisa outfit?
I don't remember what Lisa wore.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. We need so epic.
Yeah, me, Jen. Jen has more fashionable moments.
Like Jen and her outfit this episode's pretty good.
Yes.
But I'm not certain I can do the braids. I think maybe you should be Jen, Jacob.
Italian.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Italiano. Jen is wearing Italiano. Yeah. Okay. So, this next sequence that we get is Heather. Oh, I loved this, actually. Heather is out to lunch with her daughter, Ashley, and they're meeting up with her niece, Caroline, and Caroline's husband. Mm-hmm. And they all order wine, and they're like talking about how they've never ordered wine in front of each other or drank in public. And we come to find out that Heather's niece, Caroline, and her husband have both left the LDS church. So Heather is sort of explaining to us like how people who are excommunicated from the church are viewed in the eyes of the church. And she explains that there is the celestial, like in the LDS faith, there's four different levels that you can reach. So the celestial people are like the prophets, like Joseph Smith. The terrestrial people are like the people who aren't exactly perfect in their faith, but like are practicing members of the Mormon faith, like Lisa Barlow. And then the celestial people are people who are Mormons, but do terrible things like Jeffrey Dahmer and serial killers.
And then she said that Mormon.
I guess. And then underneath it, she said, below the serial killers and the Jeffrey Dahmers are people who are in the outer darkness, which is people who have at one point accepted the gospel and then decided to walk away. So people like her and her niece, Caroline, are seen as lower in the LDS faith than people like Jeffrey Dahmer. So she's explaining sort of all of that. And I just really loved the way that they were talking about this. Like, I just thought that this was a really, really powerful sequence.
No, I did too. I love the quality of the conversation, specifically regarding her niece and her niece's husband. And they said one thing that was like, damn, that's so true. And they were talking about how the church, they can not stand up for this, or they can't, or they just will be silent about it. Like, gay right issues or just like racial issues. And they said, instead of like being quiet or not agreeing, we should be the ones to be on the front lines, to be really like moving this movement forward, these various movements. I was like, damn, that's so bright to think about, but it's so like, you rarely see that. You see like condemnation, you see all these other things. You don't see the church being the forefront of creating justice for everyone. And that was really dope to hear them say that. So I really enjoyed that.
Well, and like, I'm not really from a religious background at all. So it's interesting to see people that have experienced maybe both sides and seeing what they're going through and how they're shifting and changing what they've observed, what they've noticed. And I think it's really like amazing to see it through their eyes as people that have been in it. And now they're on the outside and their perspective. And I think this is what makes obviously Salt Lake City really unique, is that they have so many people that are of this faith, and now seeing some people that are like on different sides of it, I think is pretty powerful. And I'm really happy to be able to have a look here.
I was kind of getting tired of this being Heather's storyline, to be honest. I was like, okay, we're going to get this other thing. I was like, this is kind of what we get with Heather. And that's honestly the only thing we get. We get her talking about sex with her daughter, and then we get her talking about leaving the Mormon faith. But I was really like intrigued by this whole conversation. I don't know what exactly it was. If it was like having that different perspective coming from her niece and, you know, the husband, or what exactly it was. But I love this. And love Heather and her.
I also
went on the show even more.
Totally agree, Jacob, because I was like, oh, this is getting tired. But I thought that her just complete brutal honesty and like openness. And she's talking about the fact that like when her sister-in-law got married, she like thought she was so much better than everybody else because they were all wearing spaghetti straps and she had to wear the specific bolo jacket. Like, yes. And she's like, I'm sure that like I gave them a terrible gift. I'm sure I gave them something that was like about the temple. Like, and she's just really like owning up to all of the sort of like messed up stuff that she participated in when she was a, you know, terrestrial member of the church. And she really is like, I just thought that her brutal honesty about all of it. And, you know, because we all have at one point in our lives, like, maybe thought we were better than and looked back on it and like cringed at our behavior, or we have been on the receiving end of that where somebody thought they were better than us and like their behavior towards us was hurtful. So the fact that she's like in this public platform, just sort of bearing her soul, talking about how she hurt like very close members of her family for this religion she no longer practices, I just thought was like very, very big of her. And it just makes you like, my last thing about this is just that I just think Heather's a fucking amazing person. Like she just is growing and learning so much. And I love that we're getting to watch her go on this journey, you know?
And I love her being the narrator for The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, I feel like that's her position for this season. She's not really in the drama, but she's narrating the drama. And I think she's doing a damn good job at it. So, Heather, you're okay in my book, but pick it up a little bit.
I think Heather is a good person. I'm just, I find her a little bit boring, personally. Yeah. But I definitely appreciated this particular storyline. I totally appreciate her being completely open about the moral superiority that she seemed to have before she kind of left the church. She's really honest about, you know, leaving her husband and what her husband, their relationship. And so I do appreciate how candid she's been about her life experience. But personality wise,
we just need a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Give me something more.
I have a theory. And my theory is that because Heather is the only one who's single, on the show. And I have a theory that she's going to start dating next season. And like, maybe that will be what her storyline is wrapped around. And that can be really fun. Cause that's the thing. Like, you know, I was watching the Potomac reunion before and like everybody is talking on the Potomac reunion and giving their two cents about other people's relationships and other people's dating and, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm like, wouldn't that be so fun if Heather starts dating and then the women all have opinions on it? You know what I mean? Like, I just am really excited for her to maybe have that be something that she's doing in her life.
I hope we get more than dating from Heather. I hope we do this because with like Potomac, they were really talking about, but they were saying it in a very they were like going really hard on this girl named Giselle for like about her relationship with X, Y, and Z. But like the Salt Lake City women, they haven't like attacked. Well, they kind of attacked Mary's marriage a little bit, but like not directly to her face besides the grandfather effort the first season. So they really haven't went that hard. And Jen saying the thing about Meredith and Meredith's husband the first season.
Meredith and Seth, that was her whole thing, was that they were talking about her marriage.
But I don't see them going after, I don't know. I hope we get something more than Heather kissing a couple of people. You know what I mean? Dating a couple of people.
Was pretty funny last season, though, when she was being set up by Jen. Maybe depending on the people that she goes on dates with, we could maybe find this humorous because she's funny when she's like talking about things that embarrass her and like, you know, putting herself out there, but like also being like, kind of cringe. So I think I could get behind seeing Heather go through the motions of dating because she is a little bit awkward. She is kind of shy, but not shy. She is kind of vulgar, but not vulgar. So I wouldn't mind seeing this be her storyline, at least for a couple episodes.
Couple episodes.
Totally agree, Chantel.
Couple episodes. Keep playing. Couple episodes.
So the next sequence that we get before this huge Italian, you know, fiasco is Jen and Stu are snowshoeing. And I definitely think that this was filmed, you know, the first week of filming and they just inserted it here just to give us a little bit of context before the huge, you know, arrest moment. But she is going snowshoeing with her alleged accomplice, Stuart, and her first assistant. And she's talking about how she's, you know, envious that Stuart has this relationship with his kids because she really feels that she's given that up sort of for him and the rest of her employees. She was being sort of weird about the whole thing. But yeah, it's very clear that she wanted her storyline to be pre-arrest, like that she's reconnecting with her son. Yeah. And that's sort of what they were going to be talking about. And it's just, it falls flat every time she talks about it because I'm like, well, now he really does not want to be on the show. Like, I know he probably already signed it, but after all this, I'm sure he's like, no, get me off the show. Everybody at school is going to see this, you know?
Yeah, it was very, I got from this scene, I saw it on Twitter too. It was like, people were associating this like a mob scene, like when the mob bosses, they're like, oh, we're of the under fire. I appreciate you so much, my guy. You know what I mean? It felt very like, this is my last note to you. Like, I know what's about to happen or kick off. And I just want you to know that I appreciate and love you. And after we get done with this, hopefully I can connect with my family a little bit more. And so it was very weird knowing what we knew was going to happen this episode and just to have them two alleged co-conspirators with this whole incident being like, hey, I gave up a lot for you, my boy. I know, mom. Thank you so much. You did. You gave me the family business. Very Italiano, very, you know, mobster. So I was very like, ugh.
I definitely think that it was all foreshadowing. And like, I love this idea of this whole Italian mob type episode that we can't, like, it's all kind of feeling like, you know, an episode of The Sopranos or something going on here. And so, you know, the fact that she's saying that I made these sacrifices, I feel like I do agree with you, Jacob, that she was maybe planting these seeds with what Stuart is supposed to say if he has to make a, you know, a little bit of a statement or something, or, you know, oh, she's always been there. She's sacrificed so much for me. So I do feel that this whole season has been planting the seeds for her, her, like her storyline and who she is as a person and how much she sacrificed, but she really wants to now focus on her family because she really is a good woman. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, someone that's doing this for their family, are they really bad? It's kind of like that whole Robin Hood thing. Like, he's stealing mm-hmm. from the rich to give to the poor. Like, is he
and
a bad
yet,
guy?
And yet she's stealing from the elderly and giving to herself.
And Stuart?
Allegedly. She was like saying, I'm taking care of my employees. And she also made a comment, a lot of families wouldn't be eating right now if it wasn't for me. And I just have that written down. It's like it's very like giving herself martyr for, and like, oh yeah, this is my mm-hmm. business. And like, this is how this is like up here. Now I need to get my family up here. And it didn't settle right in my spirit when I went past this, but I also loved it because it provided the context of, hey, my boy, I have that deep love for you, Stuart. You're riding with me. I hope you know we're going to take equal blame for this, but I did this for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it definitely had to like set it up for that moment, but. Who knows in actuality? And like, I really want to know when this scene was shot. If it was shot at that, like at the beginning, then they, you know, really wouldn't have any context to it. But yeah.
I want to know, when did Jen realize that she is screwed?
Cause like, that I look was into the camera.
Well, I was definitely listening to another podcast, and they're talking about the fact that she must have known that something was going down, because any person knows if you're going to get braids put in your hair, it's because you aren't going to be able to take care of your hair for a long time.
Oh my God. Chantel.
This is what I agreed with this, right? So they were giving an example of like black women, if they're going to go and have like give birth and they're going to be at a hospital for a while, they'll put braids in because
styles.
They won't have to like, you know, fuss with their hair so much.
Yeah.
And so the fact that like she might have known that she was going to be going away to jail, maybe who knows when, like she realized that she's screwed. Everything is going to be crumbling down. House of cards falling. Got to get those braids put in because it could be any second now that they're going to find me and catch me. And if I'm going to be going to jail, at least I want to have like some clean lines in those box braids. So.
And they were very crisp and clean.
They were.
Oh mm-hmm. my. Wait, you just gave me a whole different perspective. Why did you?
I know.
A whole nother perspective. Like if she did. And then she, hey guys, I just want to send y'all off with some snacks. Oh my God.
Right? Like she's just like waiting for it to come. Like how she already had that lie maybe. You know, about like the internal bleeding, like it was just sticking so quickly that I was like,
it was bizarre. Like, I mean, I not to jump ahead again, but like, I would like, she was just lying with such a straight face that I was like, oh my God, this is sociopathic. Like, it was wild.
I think she knew it was coming. And this is like, I think this is why this whole season's been trying to rebrand her image. And we'll get to it in a little bit, but. Like the fact that she was so upset about bringing up the what's her name, Lisa's son's party thing. Like I think all of that stuff, like all that fighting and stuff, she wants to look like a good person. And so I think that anytime anything that was happening where she wasn't looking like a good person, that's when she started lashing out and getting kind of angry. And so, yeah, I think that she knew it was coming and she was trying to use this season as an opportunity to not look as terrible as.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, that damn Jen Shaw. Damn it, Jen.
I'm a fan. I'm sorry. I'm a fan. I mean, I'm not a fan of what she's done at all, but
yes.
Like this is ballsy. All of it is so like my mouth is open and
literally.
What? Like, how could you do these things?
Oh gosh.
It's wild. So the next sequence is, you know, what I thought was going to be the meat and potatoes of the episode. And then when I realized we were going to get as much of the arrest as we did, I was like, wow, this episode is, you know, 10 out of 10. Yeah. But they arrive at the Culinary Institute where Mary is hosting this luncheon. And she arrives and immediately is like, the table's wrong. And she like wants to reset everything on the table, and she has all of the their names in Italian. So like Mary is Maria, Heather is Erica, and Whitney's just Whitney. Like there's no translation, which I thought was really funny. But she's like fussing, and then the women start to arrive, and they're in Italian streetwear.
And Jen did it to the 10th degree with the Italian flag.
Yeah, the beret she's wearing.
The Vespa Stewart rode her in on, like, it was 10 out of 10, like, Italian. And I love that the girls that came to play, they played. And it was fun to see. Meredith came in a black leather outfit, which I didn't know was, like, Italian. But I guess you can honestly make anything Italian, can't you?
Yeah, like, just, like, chic. Like, Mary said at the earlier in the episode that she, you know, thought that Italian streetwear is just simple and chic, which, like, nothing about Mary is simple or chic. So, like, I love that. But she's just talking the whole time. We need to talk about the Italian accent that Mary was rocking the whole.
That what was happening? I didn't even know what it said.
Yeah, she was talking. No, she's trying to talk in an Italian accent, and she was like, "It's Italiano, Jen, it's Italiano flag." Like she like can't. She doesn't. You know, it was really bad. It was really really bad.
She should have figured out what accent she could do, and then surround at the cooking lesson over that, whatever that was, because this was a no-go.
I mean, this would be my favorite activity to do. Like, I would love to go do dress up, do an Italian cooking lesson, which is really just make that salad and then get fed. Like, it's just
and then get fed. Yes.
And I love starting it off with a nice glass of 2009 Dom Perignon.
Dom Perignon. Yes. Like, come on, Mary. Mary, her budget is wide, which I can say about her. Money runs long. But one thing that all the ladies came in Italian gear. Except for one, because if we can go back to when Mary was making her many attempts to do the FaceTime calls with all the ladies, she called Whitney and Whitney did not answer. And I think Mary says she called Whitney four times within like 45 minutes or so. And so Mary was like, oh, she don't want to answer. Okay. I'm going to text her, not the instructions that I gave the rest of the women. And she basically, so she told the rest of the women to come in Italian chic, you know, very simple, very cute. But she told Whitney to come in a very much lady of the night, very much
like mob boss. Like she was like Italian mob outfits and sent her screenshots of Spirit Halloween costumes.
But very
that
like,
she wanted her to show up
not
in.
Not Italian mob, but very like sensual, very, you know, not much clothing, very much so too, in a way. And she wanted to embarrass Whitney and like, oh, you're coming looking like that. And the rest of us are in chic, you know, gowns and things like that. And so Mary, don't mess with Mary because she will find a way to try to humiliate you. But I wonder how did Whitney, do you think she called, do you think she called one of the other ladies to figure out, hey, like, or did you think she was just like, I'm not wearing this?
I think she was just like, wear it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. But also the thing that like killed me about all of it is that when Whitney came not in like that outfit, like when she came looking normal, Mary was like legitimately mad. Like she was like, wow, you didn't go with what I said. And Whitney's like, well, it was a joke. Yeah. And Mary was like, well, it's not a joke anymore because you didn't wear it. Like she was like legitimately upset that Whitney didn't come looking like a clown.
Yeah.
Well, you know what though? I would have loved that, the new brief that like Mary is giving to the Whitney. I'd have been like, yes, I'm going to come in this outfit. I'm going to own this outfit. I'm not going to be embarrassed by wearing this outfit.
Yeah.
I'm going to look really good and I'm going to be standing out and looking the best on this day event. So I definitely would have followed Mary's instructions, but I would just still look like really good, really hot.
And I feel like if any of the women were to get it, I feel like Whitney's like, I feel like, you know, she's all into like having sex with her husband, doing the pump up position and the confessionals, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think she would have had a blast with it. She really wants to go for it.
So fun.
But yeah, but she did it and Mary wasn't really not having it from her. I mean, even before. Do you think though, so Mary was very pissed at Whitney at this dinner from the get-go. Do you think if she would have came in the attire that Mary said, do you think Mary would have went as hard on Whitney as she did?
Well, she would have been able to laugh about it, laugh at her and be like, well, that's why. And like, maybe it would have eased the situation a little bit better. It made Mary feel a little bit better about it. Maybe.
But I think that Mary literally felt disrespected that Whitney didn't wear what she told her to wear, even though she was being nasty and rude. Like, I think that she was like legitimately like, how dare you disrespect me, even though Mary was the one being disrespectful, trying to get Whitney to show up looking stupid. Like, I think that it just like made her anger even stronger that she didn't show up, you know?
I think so too.
No matter what, though, I would have been saying to, I guess, Heather in this case, like, hey, what are you wearing? Like, what's the uniform? Like, what did you decide to wear? Like, should we go shopping together and get an outfit? Like, I would have probably done that. So it's surprising that nobody talked about this event before getting into the car.
I know. That's why I was confused. So I'm thinking, like, if someone texted me a photo to wear that, I'm going to text other people attending the event and be like, hey, are y'all going as the same type of like outfit, or what are we doing here? And I'm just like, why didn't this cross anyone's mind? And so I don't know. But she came in an oversized blazer, and Mary again was not having it. So, but the whole thing up to that point was very cute. Like, it was like Mary even, I thought she came out with Louis Vuitton bags, and told them that, like, because it was set up perfectly, because Heather and her talking about how anytime they do something that Mary hosts an event, Mary gives the most amazing gifts. She gave them like some AirPods last time. It was like, you know, she went to the nines, and then she saw the Louis Vuitton bags, and oh, we get Louis Vuitton aprons. Oh my gosh. And I don't, so the aprons,
I didn't even know Louis Vuitton made aprons.
Yes. And so they opened their gear, and it was just an apron, a white apron with their name in French. Italian. Yeah. I'm not even getting my things confused. Italian. But they never said, after that confessional, they never said, oh, are these not Louis Vuitton? They never went back to that. I was so curious if they actually thought that they were.
Yeah, I don't think, Mary in that confessional, I like burst out laughing when she was like, oh no, what? I wouldn't get them Louis Vuitton.
I wouldn't get them.
I just had those made. I just put them in the bag. Like, oh my gosh. Iconic.
How cute is that little white, you know, apron with the chef's with the hat. I thought it was so cute. I love a good outfit, as I said.
It was. And when they started to beat the pasta, I learned a tip. You can't beat the pasta or it's going to make it tough. Or you can't beat it. Don't beat it hard or it's going to make it tough. Or something like that.
No, Mary thought that, but the chef said that that's not true.
Oh.
Yeah, he said that.
Well, I'm not going to go Google it. So I'm just going to take Mary's word or the chef's word. I can choose. So.
Yeah, do not Google. Well, Lisa Barlow also had a fun confessional here where she said, I can think of a million things I'd rather be doing than cooking, like clipping my toenails, picking up dog poop. Like, she just went like, she hates cooking. So she was like over it from the beginning.
She is the queen of fast food.
I like cooking. So.
I didn't see
it. I think it was like perfect that I'm on with you guys this week, because a friend of mine, he asked me a couple days ago, he's like, hey, do you want a pasta maker? I was like, sure.
Yes.
So I haven't received it yet, but I do have a pasta maker that's going to be in my possession. So maybe I'm going to start having Italian night and have everybody make some Italian pasta.
Italiano.
You have to make sure to get them Louis Vuitton aprons, though.
Of course.
A very cute scene.
So they all sit down, and this is when the fun begins.
Yes.
So Heather blesses the food. They're all holding hands, except Jen is giving her pinky to Lisa across the table because Jen is pissed at Lisa.
Well, not inviting her to the even if, when I saw the distance between their hands, I was like, well, can they hands even really reach to give a full grasp?
I think it was a mixture of that and being shady.
Pettiness. Yeah.
But so Mary is immediately on Whitney's ass about not calling her back. And Whitney's like, but I was driving carpool. And she's like, well, you didn't text me after.
We're driving carpool for 24 hours?
Yeah. She's like, I was in carpool for 45 minutes. Yes, Mary, I was driving carpool. And she said, like, then Jen starts to ask Lisa how the event was. And, you know, Whitney's like, sorry, I have to miss. And Mary's like, oh, it's okay. Well, I never get invited. And Jen's like, well, you know, I wasn't invited either. And Lisa's like, there will be lots more events. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it was about my kids. And then Jen just starts to bring up, you know, what Lisa had brought up about Whitney giving product to Jen's mortal enemy, who was like talking crap about her online. And the whole thing just sort of goes from there.
Yeah. And, but before we go, something that I did want to point out, because I think Mary has a problem with this. So this was at the top of the dinner when they sat down and they were trying to figure out, oh, like, who's going to pray? And then Heather was like, Heather was like, Mary, are you going to pray? And then Mary was like, no, I wanted you to pray. And Mary has done this not once, but twice. So when someone is praying, and Mary will feel like they've not included something that was needed during the prayer, or that the prayer was going too long. We saw that at the beginning of the episode, at the beginning of the season, yeah, when her and she was doing a podcast and homeboy was like, going on for a long prayer. Mary was like, no, this is how you do it. So she had to edit Heather's prayer by saying, oh, and include the handstand, cook this food, Heather, don't forget that. It was just such a funny moment, because everyone's eyes was closed. And then just for Mary to interject that into a prayer when Heather's giving it was so funny to me. But again, to the point of when they got on Lisa's ass about not, you know, about the invite list to the fundraising or, you know, the adoption event or whatever, she still went with the sentiments of, oh, my kids make the guest list. And I was so happy that Heather clocked this in her confessionals. And she said, well, if your kids make the guest list, what did Jen do to your kids to not get on the guest list? And what did Whitney do to your kids to get on the guest list? And it just made no sense.
So Jacob, was watching Watch What Happens Live last night, and that was a question that they asked. They said, why did your kids not want to invite Jen to the event? And Lisa just said, you have to keep watching the season to find out. So maybe we'll get an answer to that about like why the kids don't like her.
But this is the thing, though, like, which is, I totally understand if like it's a kids event, they only have a certain amount of people that they can invite to an event for COVID reasons. Whatever, only a few of the housewives are allowed to come. Maybe the producers are like, hey, invite Whitney so that like we can try to mend that relationship that you're having, whatever it is. But the fact that she's blaming it all on her kids, though, like, and if that was the case, so if my kids didn't invite a friend of mine to an event, I would tell my friend, being like, I'm so sorry, like, I don't want to put you in an awkward position. The guest list was small. They only invited certain amount of people. You didn't get invited to this one, but of course you came to the photo shoot beforehand. Like, it's like, don't worry about it. Like, we're good. And so just like a heads up, I would be so pissed to not get a heads up. Like, I think that's really rude. It's not the invitation. It's not having any respect for Jen's feelings being hurt.
It was all very weird. It was all very weird. And I saw, I don't know if this was a tweet, or I feel like Maggie, did you say this? Or I saw a tweet. I don't know. I think it was a tweet. But they said that Lisa specifically wanted to invite Whitney there because, you know, Whitney and Meredith were going to be there, and to have Cameron tell both Whitney and Meredith about the tea regarding Mary, about how the church hurted him,
total sense,
and things like that. And so that's what a tweet that I saw. They said, oh, because they were both friends with Mary, and it was basically like, oh, you know. And I think I mentioned this last podcast to you, that I don't know if Mary communicated to Lisa that the issue was dead. And I said that the reason I think she conspired that whole thing, thank you for doing it, amazing TV, but I still think you were behind plotting, putting Cameron there and putting Meredith there and having that conversation happen. And I think that she wanted, Whitney was very close to Mary at the time, and Meredith is very close to Mary still. And so having Cameron tell both of them the tea about her church, you know, I just feel like that is very logical in my
mind. That's such a good point, and I never, ever thought about that. And like, going back to also like then the fight, like Jen brings up to Whitney and is like, the only reason that I'm upset about this, that you invited Whitney and not me to the event, is that you were just talking crap about Whitney to me, saying that she like talks to my mortal enemy. And Whitney was like, Lisa, why would you rile that up? First off, literally not true. He reached out to me wanting to collab. I said, absolutely not. He did buy my product, but like, that's all. I was absolutely, I told everybody, no way. We are not communicating with him after what he did to Jen. And so then she's, Whitney's like, Lisa, are you kidding me? Like, what's, why would you do that? And Lisa was like, I wasn't trying to stir anything up, which just like blatant lies.
Yeah.
Just like blatant.
I want her to own it. I want her to own it.
I know.
I just want, cause she, like, she does, like, for this franchise this season, Lisa has been pushing storylines, creating storylines from the focal point of a lot of different things. And I said, like, I know you said last time that you hope Lisa is on that other chair, the front chair at the reunion. And I think she will. Mm-hmm. But she just keeps on. This is where my frustration comes with Lisa. Like, when you do this shit, don't like, oh, wait, what are you talking about? No, you just didn't understand me correctly. No, we know what you just tried to do or what you attempted to do. Mm-hmm. At least don't, like, don't pretend that the audience is stupid. Like, in your confessionals, tell us the truth. You know what I mean? Like, don't just, I want you to own being a villain, own being a shit starter, own being messy. And once you do that, Lisa, you may have my heart, but until you do, I can't stand your ass. I cannot.
I like Lisa.
I know. Well, she had the best confessional the entire night, Jacob.
About the
I
dying?
Wrote it and I wrote it and I put it in bold. And she said, I feel like this group is not going to be happy until I choke on my pasta and die.
That was very funny. That was
Iconic.
Very funny.
Thank you, Lisa.
But I just like, it frustrated me because then she kept getting frustrated. It was my children's event. There'll be more events. Like, understand why Jen's pissed off at you, yo. And like, you just tried to do some messy ass stuff when telling Jen about her mortal enemy and involving Whitney in it, but you're going to invite Whitney. And so I was so happy that all that was called out and that Jen, I don't think Jen was like, okay, I believe you now. Like, we're all good. I don't think any of that happened. And then we turn to the other side, which we talked about a little bit before this fight, and it was Whitney versus Mary. And this was so, like, I like Mary. And again, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, I have not loved, I love any particular person on this cast. I like some, I don't like some. I don't have like that hard standship like I do with maybe Atlanta or maybe, you know, Beverly Hills or whatnot. Probably because we're only in season two, who knows. But Mary was getting my like card so hard. And she just did some weird shit and some mean shit. I'm just like, Mary, where is this hostile anger coming from, where y'all were friends and she literally, Whitney has had your back. It can't just be because she missed a 45 minute phone call from you. It like, that cannot be the end all be all about why you're this pissed at Whitney.
I think she's is because Whitney is so insecure and agreeable, and like, she's just somebody that's easy for these big personalities to kind of prey on. And I do think that they jump on her, and I do think that they take advantage of her kindness, and that she doesn't really say the right thing, and that she doesn't really, can't really go toe to toe, and she's a victim, and she's the victim. Like, they do bully her in a little bit because she kind of lets them. And so I think that that's the dynamic that she's kind of set with most of the women. That's why she doesn't really get along with Lisa, because Lisa will just like bulldoze her. Like, she doesn't have like that empathy for Whitney. And same with Jen, doesn't have that empathy for Whitney. And Whitney's a little bit kind of sappy. And so I think that's the same dynamic that's happening right now with Mary, is that, like, you know, Mary knows that she can go and attack Whitney, and Whitney will just like kind of cower away. She won't really come back with anything that's going to scare Mary. So I think she's just kind of easy prey for these women.
Well, and Mary, like, that's such a good point, Chantel, and something that I never realized, but like, that would totally make sense that she's just sort of the punching bag, because like, Mary and Jen are like, Jen is trying to have this moment with Mary, and Mary just like is sort of, you know, not understanding what Jen is trying to say to her. So Whitney is trying to be like, no, like, Jen's trying to have a moment with you, Mary. Like, wait, no, like, listen, like, Jen is wanting to connect with you. And then Mary immediately is like, stop talking. Like, stop it. I can't hear Jen if you're talking over her. Like, I don't need you to explain what Jen is saying, because I think Mary is really, really triggered by people thinking
like, stupid or not smart, not getting
stupid
it.
Or crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she just is really, really triggered by that. And so she interpreted Whitney as just trying to be helpful and be like, oh, no, this is just what Jen meant, Mary, as like being like, you don't understand what Jen meant. Let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
And then that's why Mary was like, you're insecure. Grow the heck up. Like, she was calling her like little girl.
Little girl.
Like, you can go little girl, and was just like going wild on Whitney for no reason. And so she's just going after Whitney after. And so Whitney was like, started to raise her voice just a little bit because Mary would not stop talking. And then she was like, bring your voice down. Don't yell at me. Like, it was really intense.
Mary definitely like signed Whitney in numerous ways. Like, don't raise your voice at me. Check your tone when you're talking to me. All that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just think with Whitney, this is the thing with her. And it's I feel bad for her that she's not able to stand up for herself with these women in a way that she kind of feels heard and respected. But Mary is not being receptive right now. So you being like, I'm just trying to be your friend here. Like, just listen to what she's saying. It sounds kind of condescending. I'd be like, shut up, Whitney. I'm having a conversation with Jen. I haven't asked you to translate here for me. Like, stay out of it. I would be pissed if I were Mary as well. And so the fact that Whitney can't really understand when it's time for her to like double down and really make someone hear her side of the story and when to maybe allow the situation to just like unravel on its own. I think that's also why she gets herself in all these sticky situations, is that she doesn't know when to keep her mouth quiet and not
well, yeah,
the conversation.
And Heather, you know, this whole time is the opposite of that, right? Like, Heather looked at Jen earlier and said, she's on her own for this one, like, not getting involved. And at one point she was like, can I have some of the tiramisu? Like, can we eat this?
Can we eat this?
Like, in the middle, like, she looked at Mary and she was like, can I have the tiramisu? Yeah, exactly. In the middle of literally being like, your car is out front. Did you drive? You can leave. Yeah, you can have some tiramisu, Heather. But yeah, get out of here, Whitney.
And then Whitney
stood
up. But
that's totally.
Oh, you can continue your point.
No, I was just going to say like that, Chantel, your point is so good because like Heather is sort of the flip side of the Whitney coin who like she understands the dynamic and is like not saying anything. And that's why you don't mess with Heather, because she doesn't give like welcome the opportunity.
Exactly. And so it's like Whitney, she allows herself to be this punching bag, allows herself to be in the situation where she's not heard, not respected. People are speaking down to her, rude to her, mean, yelling at her. And she keeps on putting herself in that situation, like learn how to get out of being treated like garbage by these people. Like, I wouldn't be standing for it. And, yeah. And I'm happy that she did walk away, but like I would have, I don't know, given a lot more attitude and not, I wouldn't have been crying over it. Definitely not.
And I wonder, is it like more, it's not more to do, but like a little percentage of it to do with like Whitney's age compared to the other ladies? Because I've like seen times that Whitney has like, in her like very much Mighty Mouse voice, tried to stand up for herself and put her fist down and say, hey, like, or call this out. And the
Mighty Mouse like, voice.
Like, and the woman is like, okay, you can go. You know what I mean? And so like, she's not given that, oh, you're like a eye to eye opponent right here. No, you're low here and I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it. And just to see her, and I felt bad for her in this moment too, because she's kept saying and testifying to the fact that, Mary, I have had your back all of last year. Like, I have been your friend. Where is this coming from? And I guess it's the difference between how Whitney sees them as friends and Mary sees them as friendly colleagues just working for a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, what can you really do if y'all both see that relationship being different? But it was that relationship that, you know, having them fight like that, it came out of the blue for me. I mean, I saw the tweets that Mary have send out to Whitney this season. So I was like, okay, they're not obviously friends anymore, but they were really close last season. I feel like at the beginning of this season. So this scene that was like, oh, dang, Mary, you're not going to have no friends at the end of this.
No, but for real, because Whitney stands up as she's walking away and says, Mary, I love you. And Mary says, act like it.
Act like it.
And then she has the iconic confessional. This is like one for the ages, where she says that Whitney has a bobblehead. She just bobbles her head around because her head is too big on her body. Like, oh my gosh. After just like the outburst that Mary had to have the audacity to get in the confessional and say that. Oh my goodness.
Well, and also with the dynamic with Whitney is that it does seem like she is a little sister that's trying to play with her older sister and her older sister's friends. And so just like how she interacts with like Lisa and just like me. And like, and it's just a little bit of that like puppy dog, younger sibling kind of energy. And they're kind of just like treating her that way. They don't really, I don't think that they respect her, like that whole eye to eye thing. And I think that that's what is being really frustrating for Whitney and how she's not able to get what she wants across, and people don't care about her opinion and they don't listen to what she has to say. They don't believe in her friendship. You know, all these things I think is because she kind of comes at their friendship as someone that wants to fit in, wants to belong, wants to be a part of the group. And she's not actually just being herself and being a part of the group. Like, and so
she doesn't demand respect. She's like begging for it. Absolutely. So of course, people like Lisa and Mary are going to be like, knock you down a peg. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Chantel, this is such an amazing point that I had never thought about with Whitney. Like, this makes perfect sense to me.
Well, it's I'm like on the other side, like one of the reasons why I like Jen is that like I've kind of been a hothead in my lifetime where like people were afraid to like say anything to me and like they were afraid that I'll just like say something rude or like pop off or whatever. Like they were always just like, oh, you don't want to just a loose cannon. She might get really upset. And so when I was younger, that was like a kind of a vibe that followed me. But it was also just because like, you know, it was a protection. It was a way for me to be able to be like the only Black girl in a school is like, I get to have some bravado and be, you know, have a bit of a, like a wall around me so people wouldn't be able to hurt me. And so I see when I look at Jen as somebody that's probably had a similar life experience where she needs to put up this big wall and like lash out at people so people don't really penetrate and hurt her. So that's why I have some compassion for Jen's antics and, you know, with the whole, that whole that incident with her employee, like lashing out. I don't respect treating anybody that way at all, but I can have a little bit of empathy for Jen, and I don't respect what she's allegedly done with the, with her business, but I do interact with people. I can understand a little bit just because I think that it's coming from a hurt place. So
I completely agree with that. And honestly, getting back to the Whitney and Mary debacle, when Whitney gets up, honestly, when Whitney walked in, when Whitney got in the car with Heather, when they was going to the event, Whitney should have knew what time it was, because by the messages that Mary Cosby sent to Whitney, basically talking all kinds of mess. And I'm about to give you guys a few.
Was she read in the confessional?
The few of the adjectives and the elaborate words that Mary Cosby sent to Whitney via text. You think you're better than me? I can tell you, you're not. I'm better than you. If you have something to say, say it to my face. If, oh, you deserve everything that Jen did to you. I also know that I look younger than you. I don't need fake injections, fake lips, fake eyebrows, fake cheeks. And I don't need Tommy tucks and facelifts. Everything is good. I never had plastic surgery, never. So those are some of the things that Mary Cosby sent to Whitney before they got to the event. So Whitney should have been on go immediately when she saw Mary at this thing. Like,
just
I'm not giving
say,
you.
I'm sorry. That's it. Mary.
Just one. Yeah, just one of those text messages. I would be like, oh, so this woman is my mortal enemy and she's the meanest person alive. Like one of those text messages, I would burst in tears and be like, oh, we are not friends. But like the fact that she's just like so casually reading them, like they were such harsh things. Like,
harsh.
I can't believe that Mary sent that.
I look younger than you. I'm better than you. Like,
I mean, but these are the type of texts you send to somebody that is really insecure, right? Because like these are ways that are going to really hurt her to her core and make her feel even more insecure and inferior to Mary. And so she sent her exactly what she needed to get the reaction that she wanted from her.
I don't think she got the reaction that she wanted though. I think Mary was like, I think like if you send me that, I'm not going
to show up to her again. I would never speak to you again.
And so I'm thinking Mary would like want it like, oh, don't ever speak. Like, I don't know what, like if you send that to someone.
Oh, she wants her to come like, come crawling back
She wanted, hey, leave me the F alone. I don't want to hear from you ever again. If I'm seeing that someone, it's like the
literally
door shutting. I'm like, I don't give a damn about you at this point.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are mortal enemies forever. Like well, I am one of those.
On site.
You read four text messages and one of them, I'm like, okay, we're done forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild to me.
Like, I mean, I've never said that though. Mary, I'm like,
yeah. Wild. I'm like, and, like, Mary, like this, Whitney thought that y'all were friends. My mind is still like debugged over like Whitney thought you and like getting that message because she didn't receive a phone call. I mean, because she didn't pick up a phone call nor return a phone call. When she's an adult, has responsibilities, running a business, is married, has children, is carpooling. Like if I see a missed call and I have all that shit going on, you're not going to be at the top of my mind to call back, Mary. I'm sorry, sweetheart. You're not. Mm-hmm. And don't call me also little girl. Whitney, you should have been on go the moment you got there. No hugs, no hi, no bye. I'm going to tell you about yourself. That's what you should have done, but you didn't. And
to Chantel's point, that's why Mary just went in because she's like, oh, if I can get away with calling out her tummy tuck over text message and she's not going to say a word, I can say whatever I want. So then Meredith goes to comfort Whitney and Whitney tells, you know, Meredith about Joelle, who's Mary's cousin, who told her to never make Mary mad and that the congregation like literally believes that Mary is God, like, or has like the ear of God. And Meredith sort of brings up what Cameron said to her. And like, it's very clear that there's like the bubbling, like what's going on in Mary's congregation that's happening. And when they come back, like Whitney was crying, but when they come back, Meredith comes over and is just like, can we just have peace? Please. And Mary immediately jumps down Meredith's throat and is like, wow, you didn't even hear my side. But because Meredith is a strong woman who carries herself well, she was like, excuse me, you were not receptive to me. You turned your back to me. And so I went to see if Whitney was okay.
Mary. Oh, wait, I didn't realize you were doing that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Immediately backed down.
You
immediately.
Are right with that point of, dang.
Chantel, like you really just came in with the fact. Like you are the so Lisa said, what the fuck is Meredith is the Mary Whisperer? No, Chantel is the Mary Whisperer. Chantel is the Mary Whisperer.
What I have to also point out that I was impressed by the like snotty nose boohoo cry that Whitney was having. Like I've never seen that kind of tears on any of these reality shows. Really, that wasn't like, like it was just like she her makeup was messy and like there was snot. I was shocked that she had a close up in with this look. So I was impressed there. Real
the fight,
and night. we end the whole lunch with Whitney saying, "Mary, are we friends?" And and Mary saying, "No,
I don't consider you a friend." Oh, gloves are off, then Mary. Gloves are off. So gloves are off. Gloves are off. Yeah, when I saw that in the previews of Whitney saying that, I'm like, okay. Gloves are off. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Like when, unfortunately, when Whitney gets mad, I roll my eyes, and that's just like, I'm sorry. Like, I can have compassion for her in the situation, but if I'm just looking at her as a character. And it's just like, even at the dinner with, when Lisa and they're at that restaurant and the owners came up to like, be like, to exonerate Lisa and her and any wrongdoing. And she just like completely freaks out. Like, that's not how you handle this type of information. Like, if you want to catch her in a lie, like, I wish she was just a little more slick about it. You know what I mean?
More
like, just to bring it up and like, blow about it out of proportion, and like she just looked bad to me, and it was just so obnoxious. I thought in this restaurant, no matter what, you're still being taken out to dinner by somebody, and you're going to a restaurant and you're in public, and this is still the owner.
You're right. Like, and then she goes back to Heather and Jen the next day, and is like telling the story like a huge badass. Like she's like, I said this is so effing staged, and they were like, you did? And she was like, yeah, I did. Like, and she's like making herself sound like a badass.
You're right, Chantal. Honestly, though, I did. I love Whitney in that moment though. I kid you not. I love Whitney in that moment. I love that she clocked it. I love that she said it. I don't give a damn. But Lisa knew what she was trying to do and manipulate her. And Whitney was like, I ain't letting this slide. And so I loved it. That moment, Whitney, you gained mad props in my opinion.
I don't think she handled it well, but it was interesting.
Okay, so now is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Oh, yes.
Dun, which dun, is what? The morning of the trip to Vail. So Meredith is going to meet everyone in Vail because she was in Aspen for her father's memorial. So Meredith is absent.
Yes.
They get to Beauty Lab. And Heather, because that's where the party bus is picking them up. They're driving in like a huge limo. Mary calls Heather and says that she has a huge headache and she's just going to fly privately. So Mary misses this whole sequence, which is so depressing because can you imagine Mary in this van? Like, can you imagine?
She would have been the first one to hop out and ask what's going on. Like, oh, if Mary.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, Mary would have been like, are they coming for me? Because you know there's some stuff going on at that church. Maybe Mary would have gotten under the seats and been like, nobody, I'm not here. So she's not there. So Heather is there getting everything together. Whitney arrives and she has a shot ski. Jenny arrives. And then Jen gets there and she's in her fur coat and her box braids.
Yes.
And she puts all of her luggage in the luggage van.
Four suitcases. I counted four.
For 2 days. Yes. Well, I mean,
wow.
I don't know what she's going to pack when she goes to prison, but she gets into the bus with her fur coat and her box braids, and she's talking about how she has snacks. Lisa arrives, and yes, she's getting on the bus as Jen gets the call. And she turns to Whitney and asks her to turn her mic off.
Oh,
and
God.
She gets out of the bus, and she's on the phone, and then she hangs up. And she turns around and she does look as though she's seen a ghost. Like, she does not look awesome. And very she shaken. Says, she gets in the bus, or Heather comes out from Beauty Lab and meets her because Heather ran into Beauty Lab to grab a couple bags. So Heather meets her outside and Jen says, honestly, like, you would think that she would be more shaken up than she is, but she just seems like she's a bit in shock. And she says that Cherise Sr., her husband, is in the hospital and has some internal bleeding. They may have to do surgery and she has to go. And of course, Heather, like a good friend, is like, oh my God, what do you mean? Like, your husband is dying. Like, that's what I would think, no?
I would be like, oh, something's happening. Like, I don't know about dad, but I'd be like, oh, he definitely needs something. He needs something. I don't know what, but... You're doing a great job, by the way, of breaking this down, and I'm loving your storytelling of the event.
I wrote it literally beat by beat so that we would have it. So then Heather's freaking out. Jen gets back into the bus, tells all of the women, you know, guys, I just got a call that Sharif Sr., he's in the hospital. And then they all gasp. And they're like, oh my God, is he okay? And she's, oh, well, there's some internal bleeding. I don't know. He might have to go to surgery. I'm not sure. So she's like, I have to go. So she starts to just grab her shit and go. Mm-hmm. And Lisa chases her out of the bus and is like, oh my God, like, what can we do to help you? What
you
can
want
I
to
do?
Stay? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we don't have to go. Like, we can stay. And she says, no. Like, if he doesn't need surgery, I'll just fly out and I'll meet you. Her and Heather walk her to her truck, give her a hug. She gets in the truck and she drives off.
Who was driving her? Do we know?
I am assuming the second assistant who was helping her pack.
Yes.
Not the first.
But also, Stuart was not there, we know. But I also think that maybe it was like her, because I heard someone say like she left in her niece's truck or something. So I'm not really sure who was with her, but she gets in the truck and she drives away. Then the women all get back on the bus and they're like very concerned, obviously. They're talking about Jen. They're talking about if they should wait. Jenny is like, I think we should go. Like, I don't think that if my husband was dying, like, I would be like, go have fun. And Lisa was like, same, but, you know, I'm not sure. they literally show us on the GoPro, the producer coming in and saying, are you guys really thinking of not going? Like, yeah, seriously?
That was awesome. That was awesome. And the fourth wall was broken. Like,
literally, like, that's how intense it was.
Yeah.
And Lisa was like, yeah, we are. We're thinking of not going. And the producer's like, okay, so just let me know what you decide. So as they're trying to figure out what they're going to be doing, the feds arrive. And the shot is through the window of the bus.
Yes.
Over Lisa Barlow's shoulder.
No, Whitney's shoulder. Whitney was in over here.
Oh, it was Whitney's shoulder?
Yeah, Whitney's shoulder.
Over Whitney's shoulder.
Yes.
The shot is through the window of the feds arriving. And they're all in these big vests that say HIR. Yes. And they're running around. And you know it's the real feds because their faces are blurred. And they start asking, where is Jen Shaw? And the producers, you can literally hear the producers say, she just left. She got in her niece's truck and left 10 minutes ago.
Her husband's in the hospital. Her husband's like in the hospital.
Yeah, we were told that her husband's in the hospital and has internal bleeding. Which, internal bleeding, Jen, really?
I'm like, really? I was like, so like, you're sick. Like, I was so annoyed at that. That was what she came up with. I was like,
And the women start to freak out. They want to know if it's a prank. You know, Whitney tells Jenny and Lisa that this is the moment, I think, when all the women realized that it was real. Whitney's like, this isn't real. Like, this is a prank. And then Whitney looks at Jenny and Lisa and says, she asked me to turn off her mic. And Lisa immediately goes, this isn't about Sharif.
Yes.
Like, she just knew. Like, she was the first person to put it together. And she was like, oh, no, she's effed. Like, she's fucked. Yeah. You know, Heather jumps out, starts asking what's going on. Lisa goes to call Stuart. Heather goes, what if she's on the run? She's trying to call Jen. And that's where we're left. So
The best moment, I feel, is when they were in the truck and Lisa was like, I'm gonna call Stuart. And then Heather was like, what, should I call Jen? And Lisa said, oh no, I wouldn't if I was you. That moment right there. It was incredible.
That's Lisa Barlow. Like, on Watch What Happens Live, Andy said, like, how did you know immediately that it wasn't about Sharif? And Lisa said, because I'm smart.
Yeah.
But like, that's the truth.
She was very cute and very funny on Watch What Happens Live. I did watch. She gave a lot, but nothing at all, which is super funny. But this whole scene was so intense. Anytime you get a housewife going through the legal battle that they are in that moment. And we've never seen, to my knowledge, someone like the cops come to arrest a housewife while they're actually shooting and like the story progressing as it's happening. We've seen Teresa in Jersey get arrested, but her arrest wasn't like, oh, they're coming to my door, cling, cling, clock, clock. And we see Erica Jane, but you know, nothing has happened to her, in the prison yet. But just to see this, just to see Jen look to the camera with that polarizing look that she gave. Just to see her tell Whitney to turn off her microphone. 10 out of 10 reality television. like you literally don't get better than this.
So I have to also add that when Jen was talking with Heather before she went off with her niece, cousin, assistant, whomever, there was this music that was playing that was so intense. And then obviously Heather is like, we'll pray for you. And I was
like, oh my God.
Pray for this woman. Prayer.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure prayer can help Jen where she's going.
My God.
Another thing though, so just to kind of piggyback on what I was talking about at the beginning of this pod, was that I'm kind of thinking that Jen let the producers know that something was going down and that maybe that she'd be willing to film it for maybe a nice lump sum of money. So
I can see that.
I feel like it was very real. Like, I believe that nobody knew what was kind of happening in the situation, but I just feel as though it was just so perfect that it happened three quarters of the way into the season. Like, now it's all going to be, the whole thing is going to be on the show. I just think that Jen is smart enough to maybe have known that she might be screwed and may have disarranged with the producers that I don't know when it's going to happen, but stuff is going to go down. I will let you film this for the show for a nice big paycheck. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because if they came to Beauty Lab And I don't know who told the cop, told the feds that they were at Beauty Lab, but I feel like they would go to her home or contact her to like, hey, we're like, turn yourself in. You know what I mean? Like something like that. I don't really know how the legal process works with the things that she's alleged to be doing. But I could just imagine like it was probably some communication before it got to la tata, you know?
I imagine that they went to, because no, I don't think that they, when they go to arrest you, they don't tell you beforehand because they don't want or you to have time to run away.
Or just some communication saying, hey, you like, you in some shitty business.
I'm curious. I think that they went to her home.
Yeah.
Asked where she was. They said the person who answered the door was like, she just left to go film the show. So they probably looked up the show, called the producers, asked them where they were. The feds.
Yeah.
Or they
said that she went to Beauty Lab to go meet with, that's where they're leaving to go.
Yeah, exactly. And then the person who was there called and was like, Jen, they just arrived. Like, you got to get out of there they're coming.
I see that being very possible. Like, that's where my mind, I feel like they went to the her home before. And what if it was her husband that opened the door? Or what if it was her second assistant? Because we probably already, I'm guessing that they already got Stewart. They already tracked him down real quick and got him up out of there.
Or maybe they arrested him literally at her house.
At the door opening up.
and they were like, where's Jen? And he was like, she's not here. And they're like, where is she? And he said, she's at Beauty Lab. Like, I could see that happening too. Like, you know?
Someone named Stewart? No, I don't know anyone named Stewart around here. That would be so funny. Not really. It's disgusting, but wow.
And my heart was beating so fast. Like at some point, Lisa was like, I'm going to throw up. Yeah. And I was like, me too.
It was good.
But from joy. It was so good.
It was very intense. And I just like I'm so excited for next episode because we've seen on the trailer for the season when they look at the article in the bus of, you know, Jen, a Real Housewife of Salt Lake City star is arrested. I'm just like, oh, I cannot wait for that moment. And this, like, just the cinematography was amazing. The fourth wall was broken down. I love the camera just focusing from what it's supposed to focus on to get us like something in the background. Like it was just really amazing. And all that Jen's cough, which is
Jen Shaw.
Boy.
What an episode, you guys.
What an episode.
We made it.
Fun.
We made it. We made it.
It was an hour and a half, and we are an hour and a half. Like,
That's great.
They scheduled it because I was like watching live and I saw they scheduled it. Like, they had the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City thing for 2 hours, but then Watch What Happens Live came on the last 30 minutes. And I feel like, and this is just something in my mind, not dealing with the episode, but I feel like they did that for a reason to get more viewers to Watch What Happens Live because Watch What Happens Live viewership has been tanking. I think there's like speculation of it being canceled soon. I feel like they put it right there just so like, and they put in the same lump sum of Salt Lake City just so the viewers could overflow. But that's just my annoying and thinking about production mindset about it.
That would make sense.
Fantastic. Yeah, it would make sense. Fantastic episode.
It was so good. I cannot wait for next week's episode. I'm really pumped. I can't wait to see everything because this is, like you said, Chantel, like this is why I watch reality TV. I know why you watch reality TV. Both of us are actors. Both of us are artists. Like, we want to see these human interactions, like, at the core, the rawest of human emotion. And, like, you really get that when you're watching these competition shows where, like, there's real money on the line. And you really are going to get that when these women find out that literally in real time with GoPros attached to the bus that their friend has been indicted for fraud, defrauding old people, allegedly.
I just want to know what Mary Cosby thinks. I wish she was on that.
She was on the bus because this is the thing. We're not going to get her raw reaction because she's going to be on the plane when she sees. Like, we're not going to get the reaction that we get from Whitney, Heather, and Lisa, and Jenny.
And Jenny. I was about to say, don't forget about
it. Well, it will be
Jenny.
Pretty good though because they'll been traveling for a little bit, talking about this story. Like that's all they're going to be talking about for the however long it takes to get from Salt Lake City to Vail. And so when they get there, and then when Mary gets there, they'll be like,
And Meredith.
Well, Meredith is going to be like, I knew it. I hated her. But like, retelling them, they are going to be still shocked. Like, it's still shocking to hear this is happening to somebody that you are just in proximity with. Like, it's just so like, wild.
Can you believe that Heather said, what if she's on the run? Like, girl, she is.
She is.
And Lisa is the only one who is able to accept that fact.
Wild. It's another scene that I can't wait for that we've gotten in the, you know, preseason trailer for the season. And it is the iconic moment where Meredith says, who's calling who a fraud? Love you, baby. And then slams the door. I cannot wait.
That's got to be in Vail, no?
That has, because they're all together. And that's when Jen gets up and, you know, gets in Meredith's face mm-hmm. and Meredith kind of pulling her away. Who's calling who a fraud? Love you, baby. That's probably going to be toe and toe to Lisa saying, Whitney and Heather, bad weather, tornado, spin the truth. That's probably going to be top of funnel mind at that point. But just, that's another moment that I'm like, the bus moment was the number one priority for me this season. Mm-hmm. And then the second moment is going to be Meredith Marks saying.
It honestly lived up to the hype.
Oh, absolutely.
Jen running away lived up to the hype.
Because there was so much not included in the trailers that was included in this mm-hmm. episode that I thought I'm going to know everything already. I'm going to know what happened. Mm-hmm. But it was just so much more content there for us to grab.
And I love that they leaned into the women's confusion because like we as the audience now, we have all of the information, but like they're leaning into the fact that these women are like, what? What's going on? Like yeah. as she's saying Shaw has internal bleeding, we as the audience are sitting at home like, oh, sure. Okay. You know, oh, so good.
You're
so good.
Yeah. And internal bleeding leads to death. And like, I'm just like, why would you even like, Why would you play with that? That was just like, why would your first mind go to like, I mean, I guess you need something to really run out of your girl's trip, but to say mm-hmm. that about your husband?
I mean, I think it's obviously to say wishing kind of ill will on anybody in your family, friends, whatever. Like, it's not the look. But I think she was just trying to say something that people wouldn't question. Like a story, like, I don't know. We don't know what's happened. Like if you have internal bleeding, it could be that you fell and you hurt something mm-hmm. and you didn't notice that there was some internal bleeding going on for a while because it's like a bruise from the inside. Yeah. So I think it's a lie that she could tell that it wasn't people be like, oh, you was like, in a car accident and rolled three times and spinning on the snow in California. Like, you know, it's not some big lie. It's like, it's enough to give to somebody that they'll be like, oh my God, go and take care of this.
Yeah.
Sound serious without having to give a whole bunch of story around. People are just like, I got it. It's serious.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's gonna be like broke his arm, like, or something like that. They'll be like, oh, well, he's okay, isn't he? Like, it just heightens mm-hmm. a level of seriousness without having her to have to do this whole big story about it.
Mm-hmm. Like Tom's in jail and
he's in jail. A burglar broke into his house. He confirmed the burglar. He's blind in his eye. He has to go to the doctor. My son's
nine out. The house. Row through time.
I'm not in a good place. I'm not in a good place, Kyle. That story right there was wild.
Why won't they call her out on that story?
I wish they. And now the reunion is done. They're filming the new season. We're talking about Beverly Hills, everyone. But, and I'm like, y'all could have, oh, that story was so preposterous. If the burglar broke into Tom's house, Tom confirmed the burglar. Tom was blind. Tom had to go to the eye surgery.
He rolled three times.
You know, he has dementia now. He has an affair, but he has dementia, but like you give him your paycheck, but you don't know where the money goes. But he doesn't have any money, but he gave
say
money.
It. Say it.
Like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I want to be a housewife just to call these women out.
I know.
I don't know why these people are so scared of Erica. Like, Erica doesn't intimidate me at all. I'm scared of her in the sense that she like can be so cold and just lie and be kind of nasty. But like, I wouldn't be like Sutton, like hiring
like, security.
I would put her in her place and not allow her to have this inane lie.
Erica's the mob boss. Sutton said, I hire security so fast. I die. Okay. Oh, that was so funny.
Chantel, thank you so much for joining us.
We do need,
before you leave, we did ask you if you could bring with you a housewife's tagline.
Ooh.
Something that, you know, during the opening sequence that you would say. So, do you have one for us?
Oh, I have two.
Oh,
perfect.
Yes.
So, the first
extra
one
credit
that I thought to say was, in this town, I may be a renowned tarot card reader, but I don't need cards to read you.
Where?
Yes!
I like. And my other one, and this is for my Lisa Barlow support, is in my house, if you don't like tequila, I'll have to kill ya.
Oh!
Oh my God!
Lisa Barlow, that's Lisa Barlow's tagline next season.
That's her tagline. Wait, those were good. Those were good.
Yes, Chantel, that was perfect. I can't tell you how grateful I am that we had you here to break down this episode. Like, this was such a fun episode, and you were so fun to talk to. You, like, really, I feel like, brought in some great perspectives that Jacob and I hadn't even realized up until this point in the season. And just thank you so much for coming and joining us. I missed hanging out. Big Brother season is not on right now, so we haven't even gotten the chance to interact in a while. So it was just so great to see you and have you on and talk to you.
Thank you so much. Like, honestly, like, I've been craving you guys. Like, I did the rankings with Taryn. I was like, Taryn, hey! Like, Taryn, like, once or twice a week for, like, good 3 months. So, like, you know, to see you guys again. And, like, also, you know, I would see you all the time in different podcasts as well during the summer. So, like, I would still hear your voice and know your opinions about things. So the fact that, like, I get to come and hang out with you guys and talk about something completely different was super fun. And it was, like, I'm so happy with this episode being the one that I got to talk to you guys
absolutely
about. Even if next episode's amazing, I love being part of this, like, the beginning crescendo to, like, amazingness.
This is setting the tempo for the rest of the season. Like, this episode right here is like the forward projection of the season. And so I'm excited.
I know you guys were hoping to get Rob on the next one. Did he respond yet? Is he gonna talk to you about it?
So we talked about it off pod and decided that Rob, this should not be the episode that Rob comes in blind to. Jacob and I should do it ourselves. Yeah. And, you know, like, as the people who've been covering this season, if this is supposed to be a top 5 housewife episode of all time, it should definitely be us two. Maybe Rob can come on later and, you know, listen to the fallout.
Yeah. And I just thought, like, it would be too much, like, to explain different relationships, different, like, things, especially with this bold of an episode that we're about to get next week. And I just, like, it'll be too much playing catch up and answering questions. Whereas we're going to dive in and get into the nitty gritty and really crank that out. And so, but
no, absolutely. Maybe he's going to want you to make him watch it and see what he thinks. Maybe he's going to be like, whoa, I need to talk. What's going on here?
Don't you think, Chantel, like, this episode, all he needed to watch was the Italian luncheon sequence and he would be hooked, because he was like, he would be like, who is Mary Cosby? How do I get more of her on my screen? Like, he would love Mary Cosby.
Yes. She would sell the whole series for Rob. Absolutely.
Completely. So Chantel, please tell everybody where they can find you, how they can keep up with you, what else you're working on currently.
For sure. If you go to Instagram at ShanFranFran, all my other socials are linked in the bio. But if you want to find me on YouTube, I have a channel called Reality Realness with 3 S's, where right now I'm covering the challenge right after the episode. We go live. We're also doing The Bachelorette, which is a really good season so far, which I'm loving. We do Survivor on Thursdays. And then I kind of hang out on other podcasts. So Sarah from Nerd Entertainment on Mondays, we talk about Survivor. We do some rankings. Fridays on Reality Pop, I do the challenge. So I'm all around. But
busy,
you can find
busy
me
bee
on my channel for sure, at least 3 times a week.
I love that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that makes sense that everybody wants you on their podcast. You're, like, so talented and just so lovely to hear from. So everybody make sure you keep up with Chantel. And if you're not following her on socials, what are you doing?
Literally.
Okay, Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me everywhere at JacobJ_Jones to see my retweets, see my housewife thoughts, see other thoughts that I may have about Survivor, etc. And Maggie, me and you are doing something Saturday.
This Friday.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know what it is. But
it's the Survivor Feedback Show.
I still
We're
don't
doing
know
the
what
feedback
that is.
Show. So we're going to be sitting down with Rob and taking feedback from patrons. They're going to be sending in clips of them talking, and we're going to be answering questions, reacting to their feedback, all of that. So that'll be a really fun time. That'll be out on Saturday for the patrons of RAJP and I believe Sunday for non-patrons. It'll get unlocked early, but Jacob and I are recording on Friday. Yes. I'm super excited about that too.
I am too. I'm super excited. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @_MLMorgan and on Instagram @MLMorgan_ and TikTok. You can find me, the underscores at the end, on TikTok as well. On Instagram today, I just posted a bunch of pictures of soup that I made. It's not going great. Like the likes are not awesome on the soup post.
If you love
the podcast and are a fan of me, please go like my soup post. Cause it's very different than what I usually post, but it's not going awesome. So you can comment, say that this podcast sent you. I'll love you forever. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're enjoying us, please rate, review, and subscribe. Give us 5 stars, write a little review. We'll read it on the podcast. If we get some nice reviews, I hope for this podcast we get some reviews because this episode of Salt Lake City was so good. And we will see you guys next week for a supposed, top 5 Housewives episode. And I can't wait.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.